There's no better way to start Thanksgiving Day than to be with God's people in praise and prayer and worship. And if you haven't had that experience, be sure to schedule yourself to be here 9:15 Thursday morning. It's a great time.
Here?
Here, yes, right here. Now, thinking about church, all kinds of interesting things happen in church life. For instance, one time in Sunday school, the teacher asked the class, where do you find the Beatitudes? And a boy hollered out, try the yellow pages. How old were you, Chris? When you did that? Oh, okay. Then they told the story of a guy that went to heaven. And he asked another man up there, he says, what's it like up here? And the man said, well, it's kind of different. Like a minute is like a million years. And a penny is worth $1 million. And the first fella said, would you loan me a nickel? And the other guy said, sure, in just a minute. You think about that. It'll come a little later. Now, they told me how to prepare a real good sermon. You know how that is? You get a real good beginning and a real good ending, and you put them real close together, and everybody's happy. With that, please turn to Ephesians 5:20 as a text for our Thanksgiving thoughts this morning. We'll begin at Ephesians 5:18. I thought we could do no better this morning on this Thanksgiving week than to have a Thanksgiving theme and prepare our hearts for this week. I personally believe that Thanksgiving Day is the best holiday of the year. It's amazing that how many people get off work and have a national holiday because of Christian celebrations. And of course, Christmas and Easter have become so commercialized, it sort of takes away the Christian thing. But Thanksgiving has not quite reached that level yet, and it's a wonderful time. And if you have any books or any opportunity to read back on the history of it, it's a wonderful thing. There's a book that was published 10, 15 years ago called The Light and the Glory. If you have that, it's a wonderful, wonderful book. Ought to be the textbook in every public school about the beginnings of our country and those people who had that first Thanksgiving Day on American soil. So it's a great time, and it's important for us to learn about Thanksgiving. Now let's read this text written by the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 18. And he writes to them and says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, or another word would be destructive, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's the Thanksgiving exhortation. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know of any truth that is more confusing to people today than the doctrine of the Holy Spirit and what it looks like to be a Spirit-filled Christian and how you're supposed to respond. But here is one text which reveals what Christians do when they are filled with the Holy Spirit. They sing, they have joy, they make melody in their heart, and they give thanks. So whatever you may believe about that, here is something that grabs our attention. If you are a Christian, under the control and influence of the Holy Spirit, you will be a thankful person. You will be giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to be drunk with wine means to be under the influence. Something has control of you. To be filled with the Spirit means to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. He has control. He governs our conduct and behavior, and this is what he does. He produces in us a thankful heart. Now, on the back of the bulletin, you have an outline, and we'll follow that outline in studying this text about this verse. So, the obvious question, first of all, we need to consider is, what is thanksgiving? Well, the word is sort of self-explanatory, but let's just think about it. It is gratitude for something that we have received. If we're thankful, we have received something for which we are thankful. Basically for us in the Christian life, it's our basic response to the grace of God. And if you have received the grace of God in salvation, and the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, then you must have a response of gratitude that really grips your life and consumes your life and really controls your behavior. It isn't casual. It isn't something you put on the shelf. If God's grace has reached your life, touched your heart, and is a part of you, then that thanksgiving cannot be contained. It's with you and it boils over and spills out. So what is thanksgiving? It's the basic response to the grace of God in our life. It's receiving a gift. And in the Christian context, we understand that receiving that gift, there is no personal credit on our part. We do not deserve God's grace. We do not merit God's grace. And we acknowledge that we are unworthy and that we have received an outright gift which we can never earn. It's a gift that we value, which becomes an internal reality and comes out in an outward expression. We give thanks. We have received, something has been given to us, and in return, we give thanks. It's an internal reality, an outward expression. Now, this verse answers the questions that we'll be asking. What is it? Secondly, when do we give thanks? Now, the Apostle Paul writes to them and uses the word always, giving thanks always. So we think of it, first of all, as a continuous attitude, where we have the attitude of gratitude, if you want to put it like that, which kind of catches on, and you can take that with you. It is an attitude that continues. It's a way of life. It's not something you turn on and off. And we give thanks always. Now, all the time, it's continuous, certainly on special occasions. And this Thanksgiving season gives us opportunity to do that. Now, the Apostle Paul goes on, thirdly, to answer the question, for what do we give thanks? Giving thanks always for all things. Now there's the rub. That's what catches our attention. For what kind of things? All things. Every tribulation, every tragedy, every catastrophe, every disease, every moment of ill health, every moment of poverty, everything that's wrong, we give thanks. That's being a Christian. That's being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what we are called to do. And it's a surprising thing that when you come across a text like this and you're going to teach it or preach it, how many things God brings into your own life that makes you apply this. So that you have to give all thanks for all things in every tribulation, every storm, every stress, everything that comes into our life, we give thanks. How many like that? Well, we don't like it too much. But that's realistic. I remember one afternoon many years ago when I received a phone call and they said, Bill, you better come over to our street. A problem has occurred. And when I went to that home, there were some policemen and other people gathered. And we learned that the mother in that home had been shot. A young man came into the home, and they had two small daughters, and the mother was lying in a pool of blood in the hallway, and the daughters had been there with her for a couple hours before anyone discovered her. And I knew the family well, and the husband worked in Los Angeles. So I waited for him to come home that evening. And when he came home and saw everything, I ran to him, and we went into the bedroom. I said, Don, Nancy has been shot, and she died. He immediately dropped to his knees on that bedside. We prayed together, and that man worshiped God. He did not question. He did not complain. I don't remember him exactly saying thank you, but he worshiped God. That's real. I'll never forget that experience and his response. So we give thanks for all things, always. Now, the bad things are not all of it. That's just part of it. We give thanks in joy. We give thanks in prosperity. We express appreciation. Now, the illustration of this is that there's a record in the Gospels where Jesus came across 10 people with leprosy. Now, leprosy was the big disease in those days for which there was no cure. The people were quarantined, and no one would ever, ever, ever touch a leper. But Jesus did. Jesus came to them, touched them. He healed them of that leprosy. And he said, go show yourself to the priest, because that was the Jewish law. Of the 10, only one came back to say thank you. Sometimes we forget, even with good things, to express appreciation. And we need to do that, and especially during this time, for tribulation, for appreciation, and express that to others. And I think back at this time of the year, the number of people to whom I wish I had expressed an adequate thanksgiving for things they have done for me during my life. And there's a lot of them to whom I can't go back. But there's some current people that I need to think about this week. Maybe to write a letter or send a card or make a phone call to say thank you for what you've done for me. So Paul writes here to give us answers to several important questions about thanksgiving. What is it? When do we do it? And for what do we give thanks? We give thanks to God for all these things. And we give thanks to God for people who are lovable and people who are unlovable. Of course, we don't know anybody who's unlovable. How many know somebody? Well, forget it. But it's there, isn't it? And we are to give thanks. And what God gives us as believers is a godly contentment about life, which sets us free to give thanks. I talked to a fellow the other evening on the phone, and we talked about this verse, and he said, I'm very content about my salvation. But he wasn't content about his circumstances. And that's easy for us to believe. But if we're truly content, we give God thanks for his providence and for his circumstances in our life. Now, a fourth thing that the apostle answers is, through whom do we give thanks? We give thanks always for all things to God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. The only access a human being ever has with God Almighty is through the Lord Jesus Christ, by believing in His death and resurrection as the payment for our sin and the gift of eternal life. The only thanksgiving that God accepts is the thanks that's given through Christ. Our only acceptance is in Him. Now, some people say, oh, you Christians, you're so narrow. You're always saying that Jesus is the only Savior. And what about all these other great religions that come out of the East and the things that help people so much? Well, we're only saying what the Bible says. And if God has provided one way, that's grace. He is not obligated to provide one way, but He did. And the one way He provided is totally adequate, totally sufficient. We don't need two roads to heaven. We just need one Savior who did the job, and our Lord Jesus Christ did that. He is adequate. And we give thanks through Him, and that thanks is acceptable. Then the apostle goes on to tell us, to whom do we give thanks? And he says it's to God our Father. Now that does not mean that we totally eliminate saying thank you to the Lord Jesus Christ, or to talk to the Holy Spirit and thank Him. But Paul is giving us a direction here that we are to give thanks always for all things to God the Father, because in a sense He is the primary source of everything. Everything comes from Him. There was a time, and here we have a contradiction because I'm using the word time in relationship to eternity. The eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there was a time in eternity when there was no one else and there was nothing else. And everything came out of Him. Everything of creation, everything we can know about came out of Him. And so He is the primary source and cause of what we receive. We love Him because He first loved us. He's always first. And we go to Him as the primary source. And then we go to others. Now, let me say something here this morning that I think is really needs to grip our hearts and to consider as something that's life-changing. To think about this. To not be thankful is sin. Now, we sometimes put that in different categories and think it's just okay, and I can remain in bitterness, and I can remain in hatred and hostility, and I can do this and that. It is not okay. To not be a thankful person is sinful, and we have to face that. And what we're doing is refusing God's providence. And we're saying to Him, Lord, You are directing my life wrongly. It ought to be different. We deserve better. But we can say this. Every person on this earth who is alive on the earth this morning has something for which they can be thankful. Whether they have a dreaded disease or whatever the problem is, they have one thing for which they can be thankful. And that is that they are not yet in hell. Because that's what every human deserves. And every moment of my life that I am not in hell, I have it better than I deserve, and so do you. And so does every other human, because we have all been condemned by our sin. And we need to learn to be content with God's providence and be thankful to Him and worship Him. Now, the final thing I want to mention is the benefits of giving thanks, which are many. I mean, we could spend the rest of our life talking about the benefits of being a thankful person. We're saying, well, sort of, why give thanks? First of all, because God deserves it. God really deserves it. He deserves honor. Now, sometimes here on earth, that gets all mixed up. And some people who are really, really dishonest, or they've done some conniving, work their way up the ladder of success, and they receive all kinds of applause and praise, and they don't deserve it. And I remember when I was playing basketball, second string, and I was so much better than the guy playing first string. I don't see why that coach didn't know that. I deserved that, but he didn't. Well, the other guy got all the praise. God deserves it perfectly. He deserves our praise, and for us personally, it is healing. It is healing in the conflict of relationships, of saying thank you. It relieves bitterness and hate and hostility. And it does that. And try it. It's a wonderful thing. It encourages other people. It brings great joy. And a grateful heart makes a healthy person. The proverb says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Here is great spiritual medicine. To pray this morning that the Holy Spirit will cause us to be thankful people for all things, and that we express it, and that we give thanks. And so before the day's over, why don't you go home and make a list and say, here are some people to whom I need to express thanks during this time. And just do it. And see what God does in our hearts. Now, as a church collectively, if we're to be a church with a testimony to this community, we need to be a thankful church. We need to be a joyful church and bring blessing to people who are around us. And this idea of being thankful affects every area of life and gives us great joy. Well, now you say, Bill, what is it you really want me to do? I've got some things in my life that I'm not specially thankful for. Can I just, by human effort, pump this up and grind it out and say, I'm going to determine to be this thankful person? No, you can't. You'll fall flat. You might do it well for a day, and tomorrow you won't. So what do we need to do? We need to go to this text which says, be filled with the Spirit, and then as that occurs, then the thanksgiving is real, and it's in His control, and He does it. There's no praise, there's no room for pride. It's what God will do for us. So with that text in mind, let's enter into this Thanksgiving week as maybe the greatest week of our whole life.